Would you join me in a moment of prayer? Oh God, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, and for the remarkable ways he changes lives. We ask that that would continue to happen in places like this and on mornings like this. In his name we pray. Amen. Saul, known better to us as Paul, and that's the name I'll use for the most part, was a devout and pious man. Precious to him was the covenant between God and the nation of Israel, the mutual promise that the people would honor and obey God, and God would in turn preserve and protect the people. This covenant was the foundation and the reason for Judaism, which existed to teach people how to properly keep up Israel's end of the bargain and police the boundaries if the people started to go astray. Paul was a particularly zealous watchdog. I don't want us to be too quick to blame him or paint him simply as a villain, a caricature of unrelatable evil that has nothing to do with good, decent people like us. If Paul truly believed proper adherence to the covenant kept the people of Israel in a special relationship with God, it makes perfect sense that he would go to great lengths to keep the synagogues pure. So, when he looks around and sees the number of Jesus followers growing within and in Paul's mind corrupting Judaism, when scenes like Pentecost take place in front of huge crowds, when apostles like Stephen start preaching persuasively and maintain their faithful witness even unto a martyr's death, Paul is understandably concerned. In that context, we can see why he might turn to extreme measures. Imprisoning men and women, separating families, sanctioning mob violence. Paul thinks the very blessings of God are at risk. And he thinks he is called to deliver the judgment of God, to bring purity through punishment if necessary. If we're honest, how many of us have felt similarly called to be the wrath of God to our neighbors, or people we don't really want to think of as neighbors? I suppose many of you will have heard the phrase, a Damascus Road experience. Well, this story is where that comes from, Acts 9, Paul. Paul, the great persecutor, is on his way to Damascus, breathing murderous threats against the Lord's disciples, as the author so evocatively puts it. He has letters from the high priest permitting him to imprison any members of the way he might discover in the synagogues there. By the way, that's you. You are members of the way. On the road to Damascus, though, everything changed for Paul. A light from heaven flashed all around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice calling out to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you?" asks Paul. And the voice responds, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Did you catch that? Jesus repeated it. Jesus identified himself as one of Paul's victims. This whole time, Paul thinks he is punishing sinners, and rightly. Now, all of a sudden, he learns he's persecuting the Son of God, Jesus. How often have we made the same mistake? I know I have, more than once. Then Jesus tells Paul to get up and continue on to Damascus. Paul is now going there, this is an important shift, not in obedience to his will or the high priest's instructions, but in response to the command of Jesus. Even if Paul doesn't know it yet, something has changed. As the light fades and Jesus falls silent, Paul picks himself back up off the road and finds that he has lost his sight. So his friends lead him by the hand to Damascus, where he simply sits and waits, not even eating or drinking for 3 days. God was not waiting, though, in that time. While Paul remained in the dark, God called a disciple named Ananias to go to him. And Ananias did. And he laid his hands on Paul. And something like scales fell from Paul's eyes, and his sight was restored. And then, right then, this great enemy of Christianity, this man who has been persecuting Jesus, is baptized. Right then, he is baptized. He stands up, receives baptism, and has some food. That's it. In the days to come, Paul begins preaching that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's a remarkable turnabout for a man who thought all this Jesus nonsense was cutting people off from God just a few days earlier. It had been unimaginable, impossible in Paul's mind, that there could be a way to connect with God outside the covenant, outside the laws and the rules and the socially prescribed practices he helped safeguard in and through the synagogues. After Damascus Road, after hearing Jesus' voice, after receiving baptism, Paul finds himself in an entirely new reality. Paul, who was convinced that he was meant to deliver God's judgment, had no understanding of God's mercy in Christ until he received it, until he experienced it, in his case, in baptism. And then, once he had been changed by that experience, how could he keep it to himself? How could he keep from singing? What did Paul receive? What was this experience that transformed him? Put simply, he received his first life-changing taste of grace, of unearned, undeserved, unconditional forgiveness. After he is struck blind, we don't hear of any great act of atonement on his part, right? He has terrorized Christians. He was on the road to terrorize more. He does nothing to make up for that, nothing to work off some of that debt in God's eyes. He doesn't even do what the blind man in the gospel reading did, which is at least call on Jesus by name and ask for mercy. No, he just sits there and waits. And then Ananias is there with a message. Not Paul's message of judgment and punishment, but Christ's message of grace. Stand up. It's time for your baptism. How could Paul keep that to himself? He couldn't, of course. And God was counting on that. My prayer every week is that you hear, you experience in this room the same grace that changed Paul's life and through Paul changed the world. Whether in the sermon, or if I screw that up, in the confession and forgiveness at the beginning of the service, or on holy days like this in the communion we're about to receive, may you know the grace of God. And may you feel called to share it widely with a world that needs to hear it. Amen.